Sometimes Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today in the county of Surrey on a visit to the town of Woking. The first recorded mention of Woking was in the year 1087, and now this. The writer of Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne, attended prep school here, as did his smaller brother, Triple A Milne. At the beginning of World War II, Britain's military communications centre was established in Woking. Their message technology has long been superseded, of course, with few people today knowing Morse code and many misunderstanding the phonetic alphabet. I, for one. Nearby Nuffield Health is a noted centre for cosmetic surgery. Once considered a controversial procedure, these days, if you mention Botox, no one raises an eyebrow. The Surrey Astronomical Society is based in the town, and they're currently promoting an exhibition called 100 Things You Didn't Know About Galileo. Well, I can't say what the other 98 are, but Galileo was definitely a poor boy from a poor family. Woking's legendary Atalanta Ballroom hosted dance bands every week from the 40s right up until its closure in 1974. One of the ballroom's most frequent acts was Joe Loss and his orchestra. Joe passed away in 1990, but he's not the last dead loss to perform in Woking. Let's meet the teams. They are, on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Kerry Godliman. And making a welcome return on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome the rippling and very well-oiled Sven. Okay, we start this week with a round called What's the Question? And it's all about questions. Modern life throws up a variety of questions. For example, at the embarrassing bodies after-show party, why does no one eat the dips? OK, I'll provide the answers to various questions and I'll ask the teams to suggest what they think the original question would have been. OK, Barry? So the first one is for you. This is the answer. What's the question? They abolished it in 1872.
What happened to Jacob Rees-Mogg's summer wardrobe?
It's actually when did the Danish abolish the letter Q from their alphabet? Very big ceremony attended by their ween. Graham, here's the answer. What's the question? Squeaking instead of buzzing.
What is the sound of bees wearing latex?
It's actually what makes the death's head hawk moth unique amongst moths. Kerry, by using their farts like leaf blowers.
How are the staff at Kew Gardens dealing with the spending cuts?
The actual question is, how do Australian thrushes uncover worms? Well, way to go, eh? Tim, okay, here's the answer. What's the question? Per shitty.
How do the Scots pay for the use of public toilets?
Well, you're not far off. It's just what is the 19th century Scots word meaning hard to please? Okay, here are some answers for any of you to have a go at. This is the answer. With one foot off the ground.
How do you fornicate in a phone box?
Is that so?
Actually, the question is, under what conditions can elephants hear better?
What?
How do you get an elephant in a phone box?
Well, how do you get an elephant on one foot? He's obviously making a trunk call. And here's another answer. What's the question? Lecoq.
What's French for Boris Johnson?
It's actually, what was the surname of the married couple who pioneered the French naturist movement? bizarre. And finally, they cover their partner's eyes when mating.
How do the Rees-Moggs have so many children?
It's, in fact, what's unusual about the mating habits of some wasps. Time now for a musical round, as I ask the teams to sing one song to the tune of another. At the piano, we have Colin Sell. Colin was telling us earlier how difficult it is trying to get his hands insured. Apparently, Lloyd's of London say that if anything were to happen to Colin's hands, it would be considered an act of God. Sorry. No, he's all right. He's happy. He's picking up a lot of spare change at the moment with his penny for a guy thing going on. Okay, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye to the tune of Tulips from Amsterdam.
Oh, baby, now let's get down tonight. Baby, let's get down tonight. Baby, baby, let's get down tonight. Oh, baby, I'm hot just like an oven. Baby, now let's get down tonight. Baby, I'm just hot like an oven. I need some loving, and baby, I can't hold it much longer. It's getting stronger and stronger, and when I get that feeling, I want sexual healing.
You're now Carrie, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Muppet Show theme to the tune of the Windmills of Your Mind.
It's time to play the music, it's time to light the lights, it's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight. It's time to put on makeup, it's time to dress up right, it's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight. But now let's get things started, why don't you get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational. This is what we call the Muppet Show.
By extraordinary coincidence, Colin Sell was actually Kerry's singing teacher when she was at drama school.
I'm really sorry, Colin.
After months of hard work, tears and perseverance, Kerry tells me she finally got a refund. OK, your turn now, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf to the tune of Harry Nilsson's Without You.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Tra-la-la-la. Long ago there were three pigs, little handsome piggy wigs. Little handsome piggy wigs. For the big bad, very bad, very bad wolf, they did not give three figs. Number one was very gay, and he built his house with hay. With a hey toot toot, he blew upon his flute, and he played all around all day. Now Tumba Two was fond of jigs, and so he built his house with Tweedle.
Hey, diddle! Diddle Dee played the fiddle and he danced with Lady P.
Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of A Whiter Shade of Pale to the tune of George Formby's When I'm Cleaning Windows.
We skipped the light fandango, turned cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick, but the crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling flew away when we called out for another drink and the waiter brought a tray. So it was that later, as the miller told his tale, that her face at first just ghostly turned a whiter shade of pale. Plain to see, but I wandered through my playing card. They would not let me be. I'm one of 16 Vestal Virgins leaving for the coast. And although my eyes were open wide, they might just as well have been closed. So it was the later, as the miller told his tale, that her face at first just ghostly turned a whiter shade of pale. Turned out nice again.
The next round is called Word for Word, and it's all about making connections between words. Finding the right word combinations is the holy grail for advertisers and has furnished us with some of our most memorable slogans: naughty but nice, go to work on an egg, and of course the slogan of the Croydon Tourist Board. Croydon, move along, nothing to see here. Okay, I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, Tim and Kerry. Barry and Graham, your job is to try to spot a connection. So off you go, please, Tim and Kerry.
Bully.
Follicle.
Fag.
Courgette.
Torrent.
Round.
Muscular.
Window.
Oh, Barry, you've found a connection between muscular and window?
Muscular window was a Eurovision Song Contest entry years ago. I can't remember the woman's name. Do you remember it? She was Yugoslavian, but it was an English lyric. Mm. Muscular window, I remember it very well.
Could you give us the tune, Bert?
If I can, yes, Tim. I'm looking through a muscular window. Muscular world. One day through my muscular window, I saw a sight I couldn't believe. Must tell you all about it. That's as much as I remember.
Well, you're obviously right, so it's over to Barry and Graham with unconnected words.
Existential.
Jingle.
Ghastly.
Tim, you noticed
that existential jingle was ghastly. And I can sing that for you.
No, thanks.
This ex-
I'll give you that then. Over to you, Tim and Kerry.
Camel.
Biscuit.
Tick.
Smartphone.
Fantasy.
Tarmac.
Hand.
Smooth.
Lemon.
Shadow.
Graham.
Yeah, the smooth lemon shadow is a blues player.
Yes! Yeah, true.
Right. Famous for his silent guitar.
What was his hits?
He didn't have any hits.
No. Surprised we've even heard of him, really. that's double points for connecting three words that should have been unconnected. So back to you, Graham and Barry.
Us?
Yeah.
That was my word.
Amicable.
Toe.
Bellissimo.
Restaurant.
Tim, you noticed the connection.
I have a wonderful, wonderful Italian restaurant near me called Bellissimo.
Do you?
Yeah, and it is delicious.
We'll take your word for it, Tim. So it's back to you, Tim and Kerry.
Brain.
Sock.
Cokes.
Scissors.
Diaper.
Bum.
Yes.
What?
Postman.
A Pat. Now I've got it wrong. I messed the game up, sorry. There's a connection between postman and Pat.
Really?
I'll do both rounds.
Kerry, you're not allowed to challenge yourself. Although you clearly have by coming on this show. We'll move on. The next round is called The Symptoms, and it's all about the world of medicine. Medical science is constantly working to find cures for work-related conditions, the latest being a debilitating disease commonly suffered by cinema attendants, pick and myxomatosis. Well, in this round, one team has developed an obscure condition which the other team should attempt to diagnose. We'll start with you, Tim and Kerry. You're suffering from an unusual medical condition and have just been called for your appointment with Doctors Barry and Graham, and you must outline your symptoms to them, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So the identity of your complaint is now being displayed to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim and Kerry think they're roller coasters. Tim and Kerry think they're roller coasters.
So Tim and Kerry, off you go.
Come in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take a seat.
Thank you.
Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling rather up and down these days.
Yeah, life's pretty hectic. I mean, I don't go off the rails. It'd mean losing my job.
It's true, yeah.
How long has this been going on?
A long time, actually. Yeah. But not as long as you think it's going to be. My relationships are brief but very intense.
Yes, me too. And there's always a lot of shouting and screaming. One old bloke, I took him out and he said I did his back in.
I can't help feeling people regard me as a bit of an amusement.
Yes.
A lot of people I interact with end up vomiting.
Although they also find you a bit of an amusement. I find that hard to believe somehow.
Thanks, Graham. I am pretty good for my age. I have regular checkups, but people do still worry my nuts might fall off.
Do you have any height restrictions in place at all?
Well, I have been known to disappoint children that are less than 3.5 feet tall, yes.
Well, I think we probably can see what the problem is here.
Yes, indeed. Graham will now tell you.
Are you what I can only describe as a ride?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, specifically.
Roller coasters.
Ah, yes.
All right. All right. Your turn to be patients, Barry and Graham, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham think they're vegans. Barry and Graham think they're vegans.
Do come in. So what seems to be the problem?
Well, we're very pleased to meet you. Not meet. We're very pleased to make your acquaintance.
Well, I'm not one to grouse, but we do have a beef problem.
The problem. People sort of look down on us. They
think we're soft.
They do.
We're as butch as they are.
We are.
Butcher.
Yeah.
More butch.
They rib us. Tease us.
It's cost us odd jobs in the past.
It has.
They gave us the chop.
The sack. Yes. I used to work in the abattoir. In the end, I just had to chicken. I had to leave.
There was too much at stake.
Too much to lose. Yeah, I mean, they think we're nuts. Nuts. Yes, nuts. Yeah.
I used to look after sheep.
You did, didn't you?
And do some espionage work on the side. I was a shepherd spy.
Yes, you were.
Spy and shepherd.
So. That's why you're mincing about, is it?
No, stop it.
I think you might be Vegetarians or vegans?
Yeah.
Very good. OK, this next round takes a look at the correspondence of the great figures from history. Only recently, the salesroom at the Frankfurt Book Fair was electrified by the auction of the original letters between the legendary German conquer champions, Horst Chestnut and Hans Bruised. The teams will now take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with two players providing one word each at a time. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Admiral Lord Nelson to his mistress, local girl, Lady Emma Hamilton. And Tim and Kerry will come up with a reply and so on. So off you go, please, Barry and Graham.
Dear
Emma,
I
am
currently
writing
to
you
because
I
have
begun
to
wonder,
are
you
being
faithful
to
me?
Therefore,
I
will
enclose
my
eye
which
will
keep
a
close
watch
on
you.
And
furthermore,
I
enclose
my
arm,
which
will
stop
you
prolonging
this
affair.
Now,
look
here.
I
am
currently
at
Trafalgar,
which
you
know
is
2 miles from
the
tube
at
Charing
Cross.
So,
look
here.
I
am
coming
home
to
you
tomorrow. When
we
can
have
a
proper
heart
to
heart,
or
a
proper
liver
and
onions
with
gravy
and
some
potatoes.
Therefore,
will
you
please
be
honest
and
tell
me
the
truth
about
you
and
that
man
who
is
French?
And
also
known
as
the
notorious
Frenchman.
So
I
sign
off
now
with
this
kiss.
Mwah.
Your
former
lover,
Horatio
Nelson.
Bye.
Dear Lord Nelson, I am disgusted
with
you
for
suggesting
I
am
a
wandering
harlot.
Furthermore,
I
feel
that
you
are
being
untruthful
with
my
heart
and
my
liver.
Why
are
you
so
intent
on
putting
your
eyeball
in
this
bottom?
Surely
it
wasn't
meant
as
a
comment
on
me
and
the
French
man
who
is
called
Pierre.
Enchabot. But
actually,
I
really
love
him
and
not
you.
So
sorry.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's very nearly the end of the show. There is just time for a quick round of Sick Person's Songbook. Sven tells us he recently visited a Scandinavian DNA research scientist who promised to look into his genes. 5 minutes later, he was thrilled to discover he had a bit of Viking in him. So, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some titles of songs likely to resonate with an audience laid up with an injury, infection or a disease. So, Graham, maybe you could start.
Pop Go the Measles.
Barry.
Supercalifragilisticexpialitosis.
Tim.
Twist and Gout.
Kerry.
Itchy Crotch Park.
Talking about my constipation.
If you're happy and you know it, clap.
Girls on Phlegm.
I've got spew under my chin.
STD, all my troubles seem so far away.
My mild shakes bring all the boys to the yard.
Don't you wish your girlfriend had spots like me?
The girl from emphysema.
Cystitis doing it for themselves.
I just called to say I have herpes.
Rubella, don't take your love to town.
How deep is your glove?
There's a kind of thrush all over the world.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Toyota of time has its wipers dismantled in the safari park of posterity and the rhesus macaque of malevolence then takes a dump on the daewoo of destiny, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the teams, Sven, myself and our audience here in Woking, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garton, Tim Brooke Taylor and Kerry Godleman were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.